For bin Laden, as for many jihadists, the present is an echo of the distant past. And his relocation to Afghanistan was nothing less than a recapitulation of the Hijra, Muhammad's own migration to Medina. The Prophet fled Mecca when his community was imperiled by hostile tribes that his followers could not defeat. The Hijra was a retreat in a time of weakness. In retreating to Afghanistan, bin Laden saw himself as making a similar tactical withdrawal, the prologue to a long battle. Throughout the stay in Afghanistan, he described the movement of militants to Afghanistan explicitly as a strategy of Hijra, and he implored Muslims to come to the new Islamic Emirate. In a recruitment videotape, he declares that emigration stands alongside belief and jihad as articles of faith. Muslims, he says, honest scholars, the loyal traders and the tribal sheikhs must emigrate for the sake of Allah and find themselves a place in which they raise the banner of jihad and mobilize the ummah in order to preserve their religion and their life. Even at this distant remove, he insists, there is a preserve of true Islam. He reminds the viewer of the importance of pledging fealty to a true leader, and while images of Afghanistan roll by, declares, "This state was established with the grace of Allah, the state of the Taliban, and here is their emir, the commander of the faithful, Mullah Muhammad Omar. This pledge has been the duty of the age for a century. It is a very important duty that has been absent for a century, since, that is, the abolition of the caliphate." By imitating the Prophet through emigration and by swearing allegiance to a true leader, bin Laden implies believers will one day return home in triumph on a wave of unchecked conquest. Moving to Afghanistan altered bin Laden's sense of his relationship to the world's Muslims. During the years in Sudan, whether by choice or in deference to the dictates of the Khartoum regime, he remained largely in the shadows. He was geographically and politically still close enough to the center of the Islamic world that he felt himself to be a presence, known by virtue of his role as the most influential backer of Islamist terror. But in Afghanistan, he felt a need to declare himself, to come out from behind the curtains as a power in his own right. Only a few months after arriving in Afghanistan, bin Laden published a fatwa for the first time. "Declaration of war against the Americans occupying the land of the two holy places, Saudi Arabia," appeared in Al-Quds Al-Arabi, the London-based Arab-language newspaper that Al-Qaeda has often used to deliver its messages. The fatwa has come to be known as the Ladanese Epistle. It is an endless list of charges that in English translation runs to almost 19 turgid, single-spaced pages. The most prominent grievance is bin Laden's hallmark, the Zionist Crusader Alliance, that amalgam of world infidelity, is waging a war against the people of Islam. "So far have matters progressed," he writes, "that the Muslims' blood became the cheapest and their wealth is loot in the hands of the enemies. Their blood was spilled in Palestine and Iraq. The horrifying pictures of the massacre of Qana in Lebanon, where in April 1996 an Israeli artillery bombardment killed approximately 100 civilians sheltering at a UN base, are still fresh in our memory. Massacres in Tajikistan, Burma, Kashmir, Assam, Philippines, Fatani, Malaysia, Ogaden, Somalia, Eritrea, Chechnya, and Bosnia-Herzegovina took place, massacres that send shivers in the body and shakes the conscience. All this slaughter is laid at the doorstep of the American-Israeli conspiracy." Over and above this titanic bloodshed, the latest and greatest of these aggressions since the death of the Prophet is the occupation of the land of the two holy places. Here, bin Laden's hatred bursts forth in torrents. He does not stop to explain why occupation of holy soil is a greater outrage than killing. To him, it is obvious that the violation of the sacred is more offensive than the taking of life.